Our scripture lesson is taken from the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, and reading at chapter 11, verses 17 and following. You can get a small picture of the disruption in this church that John Gerstner talked about a little bit last week, how inferior its Christianity was, and you get a small picture of that in this particular part of the epistle. Verse 17 of the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you assemble as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are chastened, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together to be condemned. About the other things, I will give directions when I come. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word.
Paul is writing in the passage that is before us to correct certain abuses, certain disorder in the church, particularly as regards the observation of the Lord's Supper. And it's in the context of that talking about our dealing with the Lord's Supper that he warns us about the manner in which we come to it and receive it, saying that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord, which sounds a very serious thing, and it is. The old translations, King James and so forth, translated it rather more strictly by saying whoever eats or drinks unworthily. However, the present translation, though not quite as accurate grammatically, is a better rendering of Paul's meaning, because he is talking about the manner in which the Lord's Supper is to be received. Now, the circumstances were peculiar to that day, and they ought really not to surprise us too much when we realize how the Lord's Supper was originally instituted, in the midst of another supper or feast. And it became very early a practice in the church's life to celebrate communion in the context of a meal being eaten together, a meal which in part was a symbol of their unity and an occasion of fellowship, and a time apparently when the poor were to be expected to be able to share in the benefits of the wealthy, and this is one of the matters that Paul took them to task for not doing. The problem was that in the context of eating a meal together, they came to regard the Lord's Supper, the communion itself, as a mere appendage, as a mere extension of the meal that they were eating anyway. And they did not treat the Lord's table with the consideration, with the weight, with the reverence and respect due to it. And that is what he is talking about when he says that we have to treat it in a worthy manner and not in an unworthy one. That is, we have to discern that this table is different from other tables, that this table has certain meanings and attachments and promises, that it represents something so awesome and weighty that it ought to affect the way in which we come to it. And if the way in which we receive the elements from this table undervalues or devalues or brings into disrepute or disrespect that for which these elements stand, then he says we're under the judgment of God. So he says, whoever eats or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Now that's not because the body and blood of the Lord are here. These are only the symbols, the emblems, the representations of the true body and blood of the Lord. When the Lord took the bread in his hands at that Last Supper and said, "This is my body broken for you," and broke the bread, his real body was holding the bread. The bread was an emblem, a symbol of his real body about to be sacrificed. So this is a meal which represents or signifies the sacrifice of Jesus for the sins of his own people. So we are to come to it acknowledging what it represents and not taking the symbols inappropriately. Now perhaps it's better, easier to understand that if you recognize that there is a certain etiquette, a certain responsibility to handle the symbols even of a nation responsibly and properly. There is a whole proper etiquette for handling the flag of our country, for instance. Ways in which it can be handled, when it can be put up and taken down, how it is to be treated. And if one treats the flag of a country with disrespect, he has dishonored the country itself. And the flag is only a piece of cloth. But it represents the honor and dignity of the country for which it stands. So also these elements are only bread and wine, but they represent the body and blood of Christ offered as sacrifices, as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Therefore, they have to be taken, discerning their true nature and giving them their proper weight and value, honor and respect, so that they cannot be taken ignorantly or carelessly or profanely. They have to be given that respect due them because of what they do for us, the very becoming as they do to believing hearts, the very vehicles of God's grace to us. So how are we to come to this table? We are to come to this table thankfully commemorating our Lord's death for us. This is a commemorative meal, in part. It is in remembrance of our Lord's death. But that death for us, we thankfully commemorate. We don't just remember it in the abstract, but we offer thanks to God for it because of what it means to us. Our very salvation rests upon it. But more than that, when we come to this table, we actually do renew our participation in the benefits of Christ's death. As a sacrificial death, we are renewing our union with Him, and He infusing us with fresh grace. It's very appropriate then for Ralph to have played Just As I Am, because of the very real sense in which the communion table is the sacrament by which God's people come to Jesus Christ for cleansing and for restoration. We come also publicly accepting the covenant for which these emblems stand and in which they are made with all its promises and obligations. He says, "This is the new covenant in my blood." When we come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sin, He doesn't give us forgiveness of sins and wash our slates clean alone. But He establishes a relationship between Him and us. And that relationship is called a covenant in Scripture. That means that there are certain promises and obligations which He vows He will carry out towards us. And there are certain promises and obligations which we undertake to carry out towards Him. He will be our God. We will be His people. He will make His will known to us. We undertake to obey it in every particular, and so on. In a very real sense, when we come to this table, we are renewing our vows of membership. You remember those vows that you took when you became a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, encompassing all of the basic particulars of what it means to be a Christian. When you come to this table, there is a sense in which all of those things are renewed. Our covenant relationship with Christ is publicly acknowledged, and our obligations to carry out His expectations of us are also publicly acknowledged. And finally, when we come to this table and partake of it, we are acknowledging that our unity as the people of God is found in our joint participation in this table. It signifies our fellowship with each other as joint members of the body of Christ. Now you can readily see, without any development of what these things mean, that these are weighty matters. These are solemn matters. These are high and holy matters. So when we come to this table, we have to examine ourselves to see whether or not we understand the provision that Christ makes for us in this table and acknowledge our need of Him. We don't come to this table professing worthiness. In fact, a sense of unworthiness is one of the basic requisites for coming worthily to the table. That is to say, it's when we realize that we have no right to the salvation God offers in Christ Jesus, that we are beggars, that we are suppliants, that we are indigent, that we are helpless, that we are lost and undone without Him. It is then that we truly come. We come to this table then, examining ourselves to see whether or not we truly appreciate that in this table Christ is made manifest to us, and acknowledging our obligations to Him, and determining from henceforth to carry them out by the grace that He gives us by this means and all others. Let us attend now to the words of invitation to this table. Dearly beloved, all that humbly put their trust in Christ and desire His help that they may lead a holy life, all that are truly sorry for their sins and would be delivered from the burden of them, being members of evangelical churches, are invited and encouraged in His name to come to this sacrament. Let us therefore so come that we may find refreshing and rest unto our souls. As we draw near to the Lord's table to celebrate the holy communion of the body and blood of Christ, we are gratefully to remember that our Lord instituted this sacrament for these several reasons: for the perpetual memory of His dying for our sakes and the pledge of His undying love; as a bond of our union with Him and with each other as members of His mystical body; as a seal of His promises to us and a renewal of our obedience to Him; for the blessed assurance of His presence with us who are gathered here in His name; and as a pledge of His coming again. Seeing therefore what great benefits Christ has prepared for us in this communion, for this cause let us bow our knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant us, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith.